Hi, welcome to the 12th episode of Two Friends with Nothing in Common. My name's Manuela, and I'm going to share a quick story about what Andrew and I don't have in common. So, you know when people are presented in a situation where there becomes a silence in the conversation? Some people like to enjoy the silence, while other people like to come up with some kind of weird conversation starter to break the silence. Andrew likes to start random conversations about things that don't even matter.
I'm offended. Wait, like, what kind of situation, though? Because, like, it depends on how many people and stuff.
Well, just when we were at the Overlook, and you were, like, trying to talk about our friend's nicknames, and I was like, why are you talking? Like, I'm just trying to look at the sunset.
Just trying to... Oh, yeah. I told you, I'm just trying to make conversation. And you said, try harder.
Well, because I was just trying to enjoy the view, and it was silent, and it was nice, and I was very comfortable. And then he starts asking me all these weird, random questions that I don't know the answer to. And I was like, why don't you ask the people that this, like, is about? Like, don't ask me.
I'm sorry, I was trying to have interesting conversation.
It's fine.
All right, so weekly recap. I'll start us off as per usual.
Yep.
I've had a restful week. It's good. Hanging out with friends, but also being productive. My roommate was gone this past week, so that's always, like, a weird dynamic, because, you know, it's something that's usually, like, normal about your week. Big element is missing, but it's been good. I think I sing a lot more when no one's around. I don't know. This should be, like, something we discuss later on, but, like, I don't, like, do you do anything interesting, like, when your roommates aren't around?
I mean, I talk to myself a lot, but that's, like, even when people are around.
I think I've developed a bad habit of, like, when my roommates aren't around, I'll, like, laugh out loud a lot more about stuff. But when they come back home, I don't readjust, and so I'm just really annoying all the time now, like when I watch TV shows or think of something.
But you're, like, allowed to laugh out loud at things.
I know, but I'm obnoxious about it.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It's not, like, the worst.
Yeah, so that was, it's been a good week. In addition to that, I do miss Craig. I'll say that. I miss you, Craig. But had an hour-long phone conversation with a friend on Thursday, who I hadn't been able to talk to in a while, and that was good. On Saturday, I went to Ramatai with another friend, and then we went thrift shopping, got a shirt, a gag gift. So the two musts, you like something practical, and then those things you need on hand for unexpected events. And then also,
Andrew's always prepared.
You gotta be prepared. And then I saw my first ever 8-track. It's like an archaic cassette tape. It's like the original cassette tape, basically. Yeah, I've heard my parents, like, talk about them before, but I've never, like, seen them or, like, yeah. So I was like looking at it, like, I sent my parents, like, a video of it, like, of me, like, moving it around, like, what is this thing? And they're like, that's an 8-track. So that was interesting. And then later that day, our friend Mitch surprised me.
Yeah.
I was in my apartment, like, getting ready for dinner. And he calls me, he's like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, just at my apartment. And he's done this before, so I was like, are you outside my apartment? He's like, maybe. And so, but that's really good, just, like, getting to catch up with people, like, on the whim. I'm not a spontaneous person, but I do enjoy it when people in my life are spontaneous. And then we were going to hang out anyway, so then the three of us got to hang out, and that was a lot of fun. And then later that evening, we swapped him out for our friend Elvie.
Yes!
Who was... She was on episode 3, I think. She was
Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, the exercise specialist. And for some reason, we then went to the world's worst McDonald's.
Okay.
If you live in Springfield, Missouri,
Stop listening to this.
Never go.
He's being rude.
To the McDonald's on National Avenue.
He only hates it because they took away lemonade.
No, like, they are, no. McDonald's in general got rid of Hi-C Orange, but we previously discussed this. This location does not have lemonade.
Oh my gosh.
Every time I ask for a bacon, egg, and cheese bagel, they're like, oh, we're out of bagels. How are you out of bagels? And then also, when you have to
Whatever.
Go through the you have to go through the drive-thru at this location, if you go indoors, you're guaranteed to wait 20 minutes to get your food. Or maybe even 20 minutes just to get serviced at the counter. And then
they
in
have
addition,
little like things that you can do
yes,
your own order.
Even better, so. they do have that. And guess what? They have the pick a number system, you know? They say like pick a number and type it in so we know who to call or no, not even who to call, who to deliver it to. Because they have those like little like plastic things on stand next to it that you're supposed to take and bring to your table. Well, you do that and you sit at your table and they don't come. And then you're looking over the other booths, trying to see, like, do they forget about me? What's going on? And actually, this happened the first night that we ever hung out.
Wow, it was, good
yeah,
memory.
Yeah. It was me, you, and another friend. And we were sitting at that table for over 20 minutes, and I ordered a McFlurry. And then eventually I'm like, okay, I gotta, like, go up and ask what's going on. And I get up there to see, like, the woman behind the counter handing it to another person saying, this person never came for their McFlurry, so I guess you can have it. I'm like, that's mine. I've been sitting at my table with my number. This is my receipt with my number on it. It's supposed to be brought to the table. So, all right, this is getting to a long rant. But, you know, like, places like Fazoli's and Bread Co., like, they've upgraded so that, like, you take a number and you, like, bring it to your seat or, like, you sit at your table with your number and then the person, like, gives you your food. It's like an in-between of, like, a fancy restaurant or a normal restaurant and fast food. And McDonald's, I guess, is trying to do that with, like, the little, like, plastic stand number thing. But if you're going to have that, you have to actually use it for what it's, like, supposed to be used for. So I could go on and on about this, but there's just been other times I've had bad customer service there. Sorry, this turned into a bad weekly intro. But do not go to the McDonald's on National Avenue
just
in Springfield,
Missouri.
Just
don't go to McDonald's, okay? Jeez.
Don't be hating on
in
McDonald's.
General, unless
you're missing the point.
There's only one McDonald's that I'll go to. There's only one thing I'll eat at that McDonald's.
Anyways, so visiting with peeps, it was a good week. Talked to my grandma for a bit on Sunday night.
Dixie.
Yes. Call your grandmothers, they appreciate it. Actually, she called me, but I still appreciate it. And I introduced Manuela to Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah, and that was fun.
Yeah, good times. So that's my week.
Nice. You kind of left out some stuff, so I will fill in those gaps for you as well.
Yeah, well, I thought this would happen, so I didn't want to be a big repeat.
Oh, good job.
I didn't forget about Alex, don't
wow.
worry.
Wait, what?
We hung out with Alex.
Oh, that's right.
That's awkward.
Alex, if you're listening, I had a really great time.
Are you?
Anyway, I was like trying to do my weekly recap, and I was like, what did I even do on Saturday? I was like, oh, I did nothing, and like completely forgot. And I forgot that we went to dinner. I need to stop talking. Okay, anyway. Okay, so on Friday, we went to dinner with our friend Alex. No, I went to dinner with him. Sorry, it was just me and his parents. Anyway, not the point. After dinner, Andrew and I went to Branson, and we went to this, like, Top of the Rock, Big Cedar Lodge, like, overlook. It was beautiful. The sky was beautiful. Our friend Paige was there. She was beautiful in her camp clothes after a long day at camp. Anyway, but yeah, then I took Andrew to Yeti's, which is famous for their blue cobbler snow cones, which turn your poop blue. So, Andrew, can you confirm or deny that your poop was blue a couple days after eating the snow cone?
It took a little longer than I thought, but it did happen.
Yeah! Heck yeah. So, anyway, yeah, and then Saturday I just, like, ran some errands and met up with our friend Alex again. Andrew was with me. Also, yeah, just like a normal day of being back in Springfield and having a life, I guess. Anyway, but then whenever Mitch came, I knew he was coming. But then I like didn't, no one really said anything else. And then Andrew was just like, do you want to hang out? And I was like, I guess. So I came over and I walked in the door. And then I was going to shut the door. And then Mitch jumped out from behind the door and scared me so much I actually screamed. Didn't pee my pants, though, so that was a win. Mm. Yeah, we had some good talks in the park. Got to go to Jordan Valley, favorite park. And then on Sunday after church, Andrew was the ultimate bro and picked up my pizza for me at Domino's because I didn't want to go out and get it myself. And then we watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and it's a really funny show, so everyone watch it. Because I thought I was going to hate it. Because I was like, oh, if Andrew loves this, like, I'll hate it. And then I ended up loving it. But yeah, then Monday I had a really good day at work. I was able to do a lot of things right. And my boss was, like, happy with me. So I was really ecstatic. And then on Tuesday, it was still a good day. But then I went to Walmart because I had to go pick up some carrots. and I was going to get ice cream. And it was dairy-free ice cream. And I found it. The one that I wanted. and it was on the very, very, very top shelf, and it was, like, pushed back. So I wasn't tall enough to get the ice cream, and I was, like, really mad about it, because I was like, that's so dumb that they put this so high, and no one is around here to help me. So then I just angrily left and went to Pee Whip, because at least I could reach that. And so, if you're tall and want to go, if you're tall and want to go get ice cream with me at Walmart, that'd be really nice. But yeah, that was my week. Nice. It was fun.
Quality.
Yeah, I laughed. I cried.
You lived.
I breathed. I didn't die. But yeah.
Solid.
That's all I got.
So you, should I introduce our guest?
Yeah.
Okay, so our our guest today is my friend Rachel.
Hello,
Rachel. She is going to discuss Disney films.
Yes.
Because she's an expert on Disney.
Yes.
So, enlighten us.
Okay, so I do consider myself an expert on Disney films. When I was little, the only thing I ever wanted to play was Disney Seen It, and I made my grandmother play that game with me, like, at least once a week, if not more than that. So, yes. Then my roommate gets mad at me because I just have, like, the whole thing memorized now.
I do that
now.
Too, yes.
And when I play
yes.
with her, she's like, this is, you're not, you don't even, like, you're not better than the rest of us. You just have this game memorized. But I've been, yeah, I was definitely raised like a Disney kid. I went to Disney World for the first time when I was 7, I think. And then I've been, well, been on 4 trips since then, and then the one big one. I just got back from a semester doing the Disney College Program, so I worked down at Walt Disney World.
Oh, nice. Where'd you work at?
I worked at Epcot, so I worked for the Special Events Office, and I was there during the Flower and Garden Festival. So we, I supervised, like, some of the playgrounds where, like, the little kids had places. I was at the Butterfly House, like, I was a greeter there. And then we had a gift for people who have an annual pass to Disney. We had, like, concert wristbands for them for some of the artists that we had for the festival. So it was really fun. I really liked it. Epcot has been my favorite park since I was
nice.
Little. So I was, like, a dream come true to be there. And I got to work the Run Disney races, too, which were really, really fun. The Princess Half Marathon was there while I was there. And, like, princesses are my favorite, so that was really fun. The theme for, because they have a 5K, a 10K, and a half marathon 3 days in a row, and the princess who was, like, the theme for the 5K was Rapunzel, who's my favorite princess, so I got to meet Rapunzel that day, like, while I got paid to meet Rapunzel, so that was really fun.
I got paid to meet Rapunzel.
It was just really awesome, and I'm still, like, really good friends with two of my roommates from down there. I talk to them almost every day. And then good friends with two of the girls that I worked with. And one of them I actually hopefully get to see sometime this semester because a lot of her family lives by Table Rock. So she's going to be down in the region either, like, the end of September or the beginning of October. So that'll be really fun to get to see her again. So I just, like, I really love Disney. My parents were like, I watched a lot of Disney movies when I was little. I watched a lot of Disney Channel. That was actually one of the things Abby and I would do together. Was, like, she would come over to my house and we would watch That's So Raven, like, all
that,
the time.
Don't get me started, because I could talk about That's So Raven for a long time. I approve of That's So Raven.
Yes. That was how Andrew's younger sister and I became friends, was just watching That's So Raven and Kim Possible. We watched Kim Possible together a lot, too.
I didn't know that. That's quality. Shout out to Raven Simone.
I do love Raven Simone.
She's quality. So, yes, Disney films. The first ever Disney animated film was Snow White.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, yes. It was the first full-length animated feature film ever. So it was really groundbreaking. The use of color in it was very groundbreaking. And then the combination of spoken word and music and just the audio quality for an animated film that they had in that movie, it was considered so ahead of its time. And really, that's how Disney became the animation giant that it is, was kind of setting the bar for animated feature-length films from there on out.
Solid. And then, I guess, my personal favorite is, like, animated classics, but in general, like, there's live-action Disney movies, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, like, talk about that a little bit, like, your thoughts on the early years and
so
those films.
there's lots of different eras that people refer to with Disney films. And you've got kind of that golden age of Disney with Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty. Pinocchio is in there. Dumbo's in there. Like, some of the early films are some of the most beloved still. They're very timeless. It's what a lot of people, I feel like, grew up loving those movies. There was considered a dark era of Disney for a while. It was like the 70s, even a little bit of the early 80s. And some films, like, it's films in there that I feel like people still like, but, like, The Rescuers is in there.
Great Mouse Detective.
The Great Mouse Detective is actually considered the movie that helped transition Disney out of their dark age and into the Renaissance, and the official beginning of the Renaissance is The Little Mermaid. But Great Mouse Detective was kind of considered like the transition period in there.
I like that movie.
I love The Great Mouse Detective. That's a great movie. But my favorite era is probably the Renaissance, because that's like Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Pocahontas, Hercules, like some of my favorite animated Disney movies come out of that late 80s, early 90s era.
I wish I remember now, but I was like looking or researching earlier today, and during that dark period, there's this movie, it was like based off of like Norse mythology.
Black Cauldron?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and basically they put like $40 million into making the film, and it only grossed like $20 million.
Yeah, it's like one of the biggest flops in like animation history. I've seen The Black Cauldron. It's really creepy. You wouldn't think it was a Disney movie. Like, if you watched it, you would think it was like, I don't know what studio made like Fern Gully, and like,
it's like
the animation style like looks more like, I think of Fern Gully when I see that movie, but I don't know. It's really dark. It's kind of scary.
And also, sorry, the article I was reading, it was like, and to add insult to injury, the Care Bear movie was like the fifth all-time grossing film of that year or something like that.
Oh my God, the Care Bear movie.
The Care Bear's coming to get you.
Yeah.
But yeah, what are your thoughts on like the live-action Disney movies?
I like them. I feel like they're very hit or miss. Like, one of my favorite movies, and this is, again, one of Abby and I's favorite movies. I share a lot of Disney movies with Abby, but is The Parent Trap. That's the original one and the Lindsay Lohan version. I love both of them. Like, those are great. I love The Princess Diaries. I don't know. I'm trying to think of other ones. But, like, there are some flops in there. Like, if you remember, like, the Lindsay Lohan, like, Herbie Fully Loaded. Like, that's a really bad movie. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if anybody is a big fan of that movie, but...
Was there a distinct pattern in the quality of live-action films in Disney, or was it kind of pretty consistent through the years?
Not compared to, like, how you can really see eras with their animated movies. It's pretty back and forth. Now, there is definitely, like... Some of the earlier movies, you think the Mary Poppins age, I think those tend to be a little bit more highly regarded. There became a period when, especially in, like, the early 80s, there were just a lot of movies being made, and so some just kind of, like, get lost in Disney history. So it's just, like, with the animated ones, I feel like there's even more than, like, we realize that were made, but it's just which ones really succeeded and really did well, and that's more the ones I think people remember. Movies like Mary Poppins, movies like The Parent Trap, like, ones that everybody has seen, but if you think about it, like, there was a period when there was a new Disney live-action movie, like, that I can remember when I was little, like, where I felt like there was a Disney live-action movie coming out, like, once every, like, 3 months, so there's just a lot of them to kind of sort through. I definitely prefer the animated, but... I have some live action that I love.
And it's interesting, I don't know if it's just Disney or if it was, like, a lot of movies during that time period, but, like Mary Poppins and, was it, no, not Fantasia. They're, like, movies during that time period where it's, like, a mixture between live action and cartoon. Maybe Pete's Dragon,
a mixture? Oh, yeah, Pete's Dragon is a mixture.
Do you know much about other movie studios, if that was, like, a common thing?
I know that Mary Poppins is another one that was considered very revolutionary for the combination of animation and live action, just because, like, for the time period, it was very well done. It didn't look very awkward. And that's also can be a lot of people attribute to, like, the acting of Dick Van Dyke and Julie Andrews and, like, their ability to talk to these spaces where there were nothing, like there was a character there. But I do, from what I know, Mary Poppins was considered very groundbreaking as far as its use of both.
Gotcha. And Dick Van Dyke's stellar British accent.
I love Dick Van Dyke. You know what movie I love Dick Van Dyke in? Night at the Museum.
Oh my goodness.
Everybody else hates that movie. But anyway, we're talking about Disney.
But yeah, yeah. Trying to think. Do you have any questions about, like, current Disney movies, Manuela, or... Okay. Mm-mm. Well, I have a question about current Disney movies. Mm-hmm. Like movies like The Princess and the Frog, like, I feel like that's a movie that kind of, like, is trying to, like, revert back to, like, the classical, like, mm-hmm. I guess maybe the Golden Age that you were talking about. Like, is that something...
the animation style for Princess and the Frog Princess and the Frog came after Disney had tried 3D animation. And they tried to kind of pull back that 2D animation. Some people liked it, some people didn't. They have continued to do more of the 3D animation since then. Especially, like, with their partnership with Pixar now. Like, Pixar only does 3D animation, so a lot of the movies that people think of now are all 3D animated, but I liked the 2D animation of Princess and the Frog, but you'll notice if you look at the movies that they've made since then, they've stuck with the 3D, just because I think that's what a lot of other studios are doing now, and so they want to stay competitive. Like, the trend didn't really catch on across all animation studios. Everybody's kind of moving towards 3D, so.
Gotcha.
It's more what they've stuck with.
Bummer, in my opinion, but that's just me. Let's see. There's something else I was going to ask. I do have a fun fact. I believe... So, Sleeping Beauty and 101 Dalmatians were back-to-back movies.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Sleeping Beauty was 59 and Dalmatians was 1961. But Walt Disney Studios, like, changed their, like, animation style between those two films. Like, they strayed from just doing the original ink cell to doing, like, more, like, Xerox copying stuff. And Walt Disney was, like, super bitter about it. And he, like, you can see, like, just, like, the animation style in 101 Dalmatians, there's a lot more, like, angles, and it's, like, a lot more kind of rough image, like, I don't know, just the style of it. But Walt Disney was bitter about it. And so there's, like, a lot of, like, scenes in 101 Dalmatians where there's, like, extra markings, like, you know, when you, like, draw a person's face or their body, you have, like, guidelines, or I'm not sure what you call them, but, like, he, like, refused to, like, have people, like, erase them or, like, delete them, because he was, like, just, like, so bitter about how, like, the industry was changing. He, like, he just liked that, like, natural look that those, like, classic Disney movies had. I remember that from the special features from the 101 Dalmatians. I had another question for you, and I can't remember now. So, I think, Manuela, do you want to ask your question?
Why don't you tell us more about Walt?
So, Walt was a really cool guy. He's from Missouri, so that's pretty awesome. Well, technically he was born in Chicago, but he grew up in Marceline, which is just west of Columbia. So, he's a home state guy, although Illinois claims to be the birthplace of Walt Disney, but it's whatever. So he did a lot. I think what a lot of people don't know is he did a lot with his brother Roy. The company, even though we know it as the Walt Disney Company today, it was originally the Disney Brothers, and Walt was more the creative side and Roy was more the business side. So they really needed each other in order to make the company succeed. So Walt just really wanted to bring a lot of classic stories alive. As you know, a lot of the early Disney movies are adaptations of classic fairy tales or stories that have been told before, adaptations from books. So he just wanted to adapt these stories. Even Mary Poppins is an adaptation from a book. So he would just, like, find these stories that he really loved and run with it and add, you know, that little bit of magic to it. He liked to add music to the story. He really thought that that advanced it along. And basically his goal was to just make somewhere that, you know, something that, like, families could share. That was his goal with his movies, and that was also the goal with the Disney parks. It was just really to create something that, like, brought families together and, like, people of all ages could enjoy. He never wanted the movies he never wanted, the parks he never wanted, anything to feel like it had an age cap on it, that, like, you know, you have to be a kid in order to enjoy this, you have to be an adult in order to enjoy this, but that, like, you could enjoy the same thing when you were 5 that you enjoy when you're 45 and when you're 85. I think he did a really good job of that. One thing that's really cool about the Disney brothers, I just think Roy Disney is also really, really interesting. But there's a statue in Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World in front of the castle of Walt and Mickey. And they're holding hands, and it's the founder statue, but that's at the far end of Main Street, right in front of the castle. But at the beginning of Main Street, when you first come in the park, there is a bench called the Partners Bench, and it's actually a statue of Roy Disney and Minnie sitting next to each other, and it's dedicated to the people that they couldn't have done the park, or the mouse that they couldn't have done the park without, because Roy and Minnie are kind of the foundation and the support. Like, you wouldn't be able to have Walt or Mickey without Roy and Minnie. So I think that that's really cool. And then after Walt died, Roy did do a lot with the company before he passed away. And Disney has just really tried to keep kind of Walt's legacy alive. And a lot of what the creators and the studios, the creators in the parks, always try to reference is, like, his old notes and, like, the things that he wanted and the, you know, the things that people tell stories of him putting a lot of emphasis on. It's never just been a, like, oh, well, yeah, we're named after him, but, like, Walt's kind of the center of everything. He's who they want to make proud with everything that they do because his name is still on it. And it was Roy's decision, actually, to have it be the Walt Disney Company. So Disneyland is just Disneyland, but Disney World is Walt Disney World. And that was a choice that Roy made after Walt passed away.
Oh, really?
Because he passed away before he was able to see Disney World open. So he just wanted to make sure that this park was fully dedicated to his brother and, like, every dream that his brother had. So they have, like, I think that's the coolest thing is, like, the relationship between the Disney brothers. When you learn more about it, they were, like, so supportive of each other and they were such a team. But Roy doesn't always get as much credit as Walt does. But Walt was still a really cool guy.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. If there's one thing you could tell the world about Walt Disney or Disney, what would it be?
Don't ever act like Disney's only for kids. Like, it is specifically designed to be for all people. So don't ever be like, oh, this grown man likes to watch Disney movies and go to Disney World. Like, that's not weird. Like, that's what the intention was when everything was created. So don't be, like, too cool for Disney now that you're older. Like, I know when I was in middle school, I thought I was too cool for Disney all of a sudden. But just, like, embrace it at any age of life. Enjoy the movies if you like them. Share them with your family. Like, share them with your kids one day. Share them with your grandkids one day. Because that's what they were designed to be there for.
Nice.
Cool. All right. Well, moving on to our next segment. Thanks for joining us. Yeah. And she will be with us for our next segment, too.
Yay. As all of our guests are. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So for our drink, the clinking noises.
Yes, happen. Yes.
I got a Mex versus Cali Mexican style copper ale.
Wait, is it Mex versus Cali or Mex e Cali?
Oh, it might be Mex e Cali.
Okay,
you're right. Thanks to our local Springfield Brew Co. for the drink, because they are the creators of it.
Because they did this.
I don't know what else to say while I pour. Also, I might have poured too much in my cup. Wait, here's this.
That's really
hard.
Oh, whoops, glass.
Sorry. There's no more water in it.
There's a tiny bit.
Okay. I'll give you some more.
Oh, thank you.
No problem. Kind of nervous.
Have you ever had Bruco's root beer?
I have not.
It's really good.
Maybe I've had Bruco before. Sorry.
Splashing around.
Foam. Okay, here we go. We are going to try it. Nice. Actual glass. Nothing special.
Yeah.
Nothing to write home about.
It's like every brown ale ever.
It's carbonated. That's all I care about.
Classic Andrew.
Or all I don't care about.
All the bottle says is copper-colored ale with a toasty body. And a clean and crisp finish. Enjoy with a lime. I bet if we had a lime, it'd just be a million times better.
I have a green pepper.
That's really close. Let's go get it. That's fine.
new trend in beer.
That aesthetic.
Okay, so moving on to our next pop culture segment.
Yeet. So this week, Manuel and I are going to review the movie Boyhood. It came out in theaters in 2014. And if you're not familiar with the movie, the premise of it is just following the life of a child who eventually goes off to college. So what they did was they shot 10 to 15 minute short films over a period of for one calendar year for 12 years, and they edited them all together. They shot over 45, or over a span of 45, wait, that doesn't make sense, 45 days of filming, and they did that from May 2002 to August 2013. Same actors, they had these people get together for a few days each year to, film everything, and, it's pretty interesting. The main guy that they follow, the actor's name is Eller Coltrane, probably mispronouncing that, but his name is Mason, and he has a sister named Samantha. Their mother is a single mom. Their parents were married at one point and then separated sometime, I guess when he was about 6 or 5, and the dad, you see him periodically throughout the film, and he does have a presence in his son's life. But anyways, also to throw in there, the mom, her name, the character's name is Olivia, and the actress who plays her is Patricia Arquette, who, if you're a TV show junkie in the mid-2000s, she was the star of Medium, which was an award-winning television show on NBC and CBS.
And she was in the movie Holes.
Oh, yeah, she was...
I know, I heard her accent at some points of the movie, and I was like, that sounds so familiar. And then I, looked her up and saw that she was in Holes, and she was the teacher.
Yeah, Kissing Kate Barlow. And
I was like, oh! I was like, I knew that accent.
Yeah, yeah. The concept of the movie was really cool, because, you know, it's, the same people, and you see them age over this 12-year span. I have a lot of things to say about this movie. I liked it, but you can talk too, because I feel like I'm talking too much.
I really, really liked it. It was really long.
It was 2 hours and 45 minutes.
I was not expecting it to be that long, and I was like, how long is this movie? And after a half hour, I went to go do something and paused it, and I was like, there's still an hour and a half left. And I was like, what?
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, it was so good. The soundtrack was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was early 2000s kind of... its way into the soundtrack went with the years it was covering.
Right.
So it was really cool, and a lot of classics. I really enjoyed seeing kind of the mom side and the dad side of this kid's life.
Mm-hmm.
And how they spent, was it just every other weekend with their dad?
At one point, yeah.
Yeah, and so yeah, it was cool because you saw how, the mom handled having the children full-time and how she changed and, worked for things and tried to make the life the best for the kids. And then the dad kind of did what he could. And, of course, he didn't have full custody of the children, so he wasn't, trying to give them the best life. But then he mm-hmm. ended up having a really good life, or, mm-hmm. it looked like that, because he got married again and... stuff. So,
really seemed to mature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, the parents both matured, because, definitely at the beginning you could tell that they were just young kids who accidentally had children.
Yeah.
And then got divorced because they couldn't handle it anymore.
Yeah.
But, it was really good, and I want to hear you talk more, because I knew you would have more to talk about.
Okay, so I got kind of a long list.
You have 6 minutes.
Turn it off whenever you want, you guys.
What?
Long podcasts are my thrive. That doesn't make sense. They're my thrive.
Today one of my coworkers was like, who's that girl on Apple? And I was like, Siri? And she was like, yeah, that's who I'm talking about. And I was like, what? I mean, she's in her late 40s, it's fine, but
understandable. And Andrew's, we'll give her a pass. Here
saying that's my thrive. Okay.
Put that in the quote jar. But, so, I thought this movie was interesting because, it's our generation. The actor is your age, and he's a year older than me.
Heck yeah.
So, he, like, just seeing, also because it's filmed, like, a year at a time, the, like, you see the technology progress, and it's cool that the filmmakers had that in mind as they were doing it. Like, you see a kid sitting at a dinner table playing with the 20Q little ball, or Game Boy Advance in, like, 2009 or whenever they're playing boxing on the Wii, things like that. And then divorce is a thing that people in our generation, like, a lot of kids, like, grew up in a house like that. A lot of my friends growing up have. So I thought that was relatable. Also, the Harry Potter
that part was amazing.
The book signing, like, the launch party or whatever. Yeah. I was like, this is our generation.
Yeah.
And it was just so cool that there's a movie like this that, like, captures that. Because it's not even, for the three of us here, really, like, it's not even, like, it's, like, half of our generation, like, the lower half of our generation or the upper half. Like, it's like, us, like, elementary school through college. Even if, like, not... Like, I wasn't a Harry Potter person growing up, but, like, that's still, like, something.
Just kidding. I became a Harry Potter fan, like, 5 years ago.
Part of our generation. Also, just, like, it helped me realize, like, the fluidity of life. His sister, Sam, she was really annoying at the beginning. Love. But then just, that obnoxious, fake little sister who, like, kisses up to the parents and grandparents and then treats you like crap. I'm not speaking from experience because my sister's awesome and she was never like that. So thanks, Abby, for never being like that. But she really matured and became a likable, quiet, in demeanor person. And so just like seeing how people's personalities change, especially like growing up, that was interesting. And even more so like for the mom who like she was an adult the whole time on the show, but or on the movie, but like she had different seasons of life. Especially starting out like single mom, like uprooting her family to go back to school. Then she like becomes a professor. Sorry, spoiler. I'm just like, getting a bunch of stuff. But like she becomes a professor and she's like throwing dinner parties and like she, you can tell she's enjoying herself. It's like, wow, good for her. And then like she has another divorce later on. It's like that's just life. Life is just full of seasons that are really good and really bad.
I thought it was really interesting how, you see Sam, or you see Mason and Sam, growing up in this, like, this lifestyle that they have where their mom's, like, trying her best, and then his dad's, like, kind of there, and then her mom's, like, bringing in new guys, and he's, like, realizing that they're not, like, the father figure that he's looking for, and so you can tell, like, as he's growing up that he is, like, kind of confused, like, what is even going on in this world? I don't understand why things are like this, and I think it's cool, too, how, like, towards the end of the movie, like, you kind of see him more turning into, like, his real dad. At least that's what I thought.
Okay.
Like, I saw, like, personality traits or, like, characteristics that I was like, that's kind of like his dad. And so I thought that was kind of cool, too, because, like, that is the only man that was, like, super constant.
Yeah.
And so it was, like, cool to see that because then he, like, recognized, like, these other guys that... were, like, pretending to be his father because his mom married them. And he was just like, you're not my dad. And they were like, well, you live in my house. And, like...
yeah.
And so I thought it was kind of neat to see, like, he kind of did turn into his real dad. Which, like, isn't a bad thing. But...
yeah, and I did...
That's just how life is. Like, you just turn into your parents.
I did appreciate his dad. Like, at first, he was kind of, like, not very responsible, but then, like, as the film went on, you could see, like, he genuinely, like, did care about his kids, and, like, he wanted to know what was going on in their life. And then, like, having conversations with them, like, no, don't just tell me school was good, like, tell me, like, Betty's hair got stuck in the, in her desk, and then the teacher had to cut it off, and then, Bobby likes you, but then you don't like him. And then the girl's like, well, you have to tell me stuff about your life, too. Like, are you dating someone? He's like, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, so we'll just keep this natural. Like, let things come up as they go. But I like that, though. You could see, like, he genuinely cared about them and was... he, like, did a lot of stuff with them and tried to be involved as time went on. Let's see. It was interesting for me because, like, as the film started out, I was, like, trying to... I was focused on the story, but also just gauging what year it was. But as it got to, like, his eighth grade year in high school, like, I found myself, like, comparing myself to him a lot more. Because there's a lot of, like, life stage, like, milestones. First job, getting a car, senior year, all this stuff. And it's like, I was thinking, like, what was I doing at this time? Like, he was doing this. Like, was I ahead of the curve or, like, behind? Like, so it was cool, though, because it,
even though you're a year younger than him.
Even though I'm a year younger than him. But, no, yeah, like, it, and I think maybe that was kind of also the point of the movie, too, is, like, for you to, like, reflect on your own life and just, like, think back about, like, growing up.
I didn't.
Anyway, maybe not, but maybe I was just being nostalgic. But another thing that I thought was interesting, there was a scene where the dad like picked him up in his mini, that picked Mason up in his minivan, and Mason's like, "Where's the car?"
Oh yeah,
because he had this like old like this retro car. I don't know, that was like cool. I don't know. I'm not a car guy. And but he's like, the dad's like, "Oh, I sold it. I made bank on it." And then Mason's like, "You told me you were going to give that to me for my birthday when I turned 16 or whatever." And then dad's like, "I don't remember saying that." But, like, that's so true, though, because there's so many things I remember just, like, all kinds of adults telling me in my life, like, growing up and, like, holding on to that. Not that, like, people get... not, like, false promises, but, you know, people just say things and it, like, it sticks with you as a kid. And yeah, you remember it for a long time, whereas the father's like, I don't think I said that. Why would I say that? And it's just so interesting, you know, like, because, like, we say things all the time that, you know, like, kids, like, latch on to and, like, we might not even be thinking. So that brought me back a bit, too. But in regards to that, four things I wanted to hear your thoughts on. Okay. What do you think of the character of Mason, the protagonist?
I thought it was... Wait, what do you mean?
Like did... Did you like him?
Like the actor or like...
But both. The actor and just his... Yeah.
Wait, what are you asking?
Well, I'll just tell you what I thought and then you can say if you agree or not, I guess. He, the actors, like I could like empathize with him, I feel like, because I feel like they were portraying him, especially in high school, as like being someone that was misunderstood and like his teachers and stuff weren't like, I don't know, just like didn't coach him in the right way. They were kind of like, he doesn't really care. And stuff, but he, just the way, like, he carried himself, it was, I think also part of it was just, like, the actor's, like, speech, like, his delivery, but, like, he, it was kind of like a, I don't care, like a laziness to the way that he talked. I don't really know, like, how to best describe it, but he would kind of just, like, drift off in sentence, and, like, there wouldn't be much emotion in his voice, so I thought that was a little weird, but then... Also, just, like, the character, he lacked a lot of respect for authority figures. I didn't... It wasn't, like, a blunt thing, like a... Like, he was, like, yelling at his mom all the time and stuff, but just, like, not respecting things like curfew and things like that. And then, like, sassing, like, his stepdad, like, when they would, like, point it out to him. I don't know. He wasn't, like, an awful kid. I'm just saying, like... I could empathize with him, but also, like, he wasn't the best guy around.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry not everyone can live up to your standard,
no,
Andrew.
No, it's not. If you respect your parents,
well, he
I don't
doesn't,
know.
And they weren't making themselves very respectable to begin with. Like,
true.
The adults in the movie were not adults.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's, like, the point of it, too. Like, he didn't really have... good adults leading him and helping him grow into mm-hmm. being a respectable person.
Yeah.
So, like, he didn't know that he should respect his mom because his mom would just, like, uproot everything and, like, move them away. And it's, like, that is not, like, that's not good. And so he didn't know, like, oh, I should respect my mom because she makes great decisions. Like, Yeah, then his dad, like, lived with his roommate, like, when he was, like, older and stuff. So, like, his dad didn't become respectable until, like, the very end of his life. And mm-hmm. then, of course, when you're that age, like, in high school, you don't want to respect your parents.
Yeah.
To begin with. So, like, yeah, respect just wasn't really taught to him. So that's why he's not respectable. Or, like, that's why he's not respecting other people.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, yeah, I didn't really, like, love it. I didn't love his character. I loved the movie. His character, because, yeah, I, like, also don't care for, like, those kind of attitudes of, like, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it was kind of annoying because I was like, you're literally doing nothing with your life. And maybe it's because I'm older now, too. And, like, in the movie, Sam was, like, Mom, I'm 18. You can't tell me what to do. And I was like, what? What kind of logic is that? I'm like calling my mom still. And I'm like, should I get this apartment? And she's like, what do you want? And I'm like, I don't know. Just tell me. But yeah, so yeah, I don't really like that kind of whatever. Next.
Okay, I'll only ask one more for your thoughts. That there was a theme in this movie of professor-student relationships. And I don't know if they're trying to, like, make this act like it's, like, a common thing, or if it even is a common thing, and I've just, like, have never known. But the mom ends up dating... When the mom goes back to school, she ends up marrying her college professor. And then later on in the movie, they get divorced, and she starts, like, dating one of her students, and they either get married or he just lives with them. And then a third time at the end, she has a professor friend, this lady who, like, is at a lot of the dinner parties, and then at his graduation, Mason's graduation party at the end, she was, like, questioning Mason about his girlfriend and how they recently broke up, and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And she's like, so do you need a ride to college? Like, it was like, what is going on here? Like, is this, like, a thing? Is this, I don't know. Did this bother you as much as me?
I mean, it kind of did, because I was like, where's the professionalism? as being someone who has worked with children, I'm like, what? Like, no, you can't be friends with students. Like, no. I mean, you can be friends with them, but, like, not to the point of, like, oh, we could.
It was just, like, such the natural thing in this movie.
It was, like, weird, because when she went back to college, the professor was, like, super old. And then she married a student who, like, was younger than her.
Yeah, so it's like, do you like older men or younger men? So there was, like, a lot of age
gaps, too. And so I was like, that's weird. But I think it was way out of line for that professor at the end to be talking to Mason.
That was weird.
That was just, like,
she probably had too much wine. I think she had too much wine.
That was way too far. And I was like, okay, this is a stretch. Because, like, I mean, at least in college, like, you're more, you can kind of do what you want.
Yeah.
And, like, dating is kind of different.
But you're saying because he was a high, like, but he just graduated, like, from high school. He
literally just got out of high school, and it's his, like, graduation, okay, party. Bro, like, back off.
The lady's on the prowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the graduation party scene at near the end of the movie, because it was, like, a mini reunion. There are several characters that, like, appeared there that you hadn't seen for, like, several years, like the grandma or the woman that the family lived with at one point. So that was cool. And then you kind of like real life, how, like, you, there are seasons of life where you're, like, with certain people a lot, and then you don't hear from them, or they're just not around, and then, like, you come back together and, like, catch up. And, you know, it's a good movie moment. So yeah, what would you rate the movie?
Probably a C.
Okay.
It was just really long. I don't like long movies.
Gotcha. I would give it a B. I liked the idea behind it. I think, and while it's, like, challenging to do a project like that, I think it could have been a lot more challenging. Like, they could have had it, like, a more specific plot in mind. With a larger, consistent cast. It would be really hard to do, especially because it'd be unpredictable if everyone would be able to stick around for the whole time and stuff, but I think that would deserve a really high ranking. So, you know, give anyone 12 years, they can do something. I don't know. Not that this wasn't great.
It was inspirational. That's our quote, actually. Just kidding.
Give me 12 years.
Okay, next segment, quote jar.
All right.
Quote bag. Our quotes are in a bag right now.
Am I drawing this?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
It's your quote.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I'm renaming this this question for real or fiction.
I like fact or fiction.
But fact doesn't make sense because...
I know, but I don't really get it any other way.
Okay. So, I'm going to still say for real.
I'm going to say fact.
Okay. Things are more like they are now than they ever were before.
Fact.
It is for real.
Fact.
It is a Dwight D. Eisenhower quote.
Oh,
which,
what a bro.
I should add, I researched this, and the first time the quote actually popped up was in a 1948 classified ad in the newspaper. So he's not the first person that said it, but he's the one who popularized it.
Nice.
Yes. Shout out to Ike.
All right. Thanks for listening. I think that's all we have, right?
Yeah, we good.
Okay. Sorry.
Two Friends with Nothing in Common is produced by Manuela Lenz and Andrew Minky. Special thanks to this week's guest, Rachel Frisch. Two Friends with Nothing in Common is recorded in the Ozarks.